What happens if Sam Horn is named Missouri's starting quarterback? Let's break down all the potential dominoes that could fall. And basketball, tons of happening in the portal. I got all the updates for you coming up right now on Locked On Mizzou.
You are Locked On Mizzou, your daily podcast on the Missouri Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, all you true sons and daughters, I'm John Miller, your Mizzou mafioso and the central scrutinizer of Missouri Tigers football and basketball. Thanks for making Locked On Mizzou your first listen. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube as well. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And of course, just a ton of Missouri basketball stuff happening. And because of that, well, I feel like I've given football a little bit of the short end of the stick here lately. So let's solve that problem right now. And in fact, I really believe that there are four legitimate guys, believe it or not, who could start at quarterback this fall for Missouri. Maybe not day one, but certainly by the middle of the season or so. Of course, we've mostly talked here in this space about Sam Horn and Jake Garcia, the University of Miami transfer, and all indications are they basically were splitting reps during spring practice. Good news is Sam Horn appears to have gotten past his elbow injury that he initially suffered on the baseball diamond on the mound. Seems like he's gotten over that at this point. You know, it's always going to be a little bit of a question, I guess, if you've got a guy who's throwing footballs and baseballs on a regular basis. I guess it's always going to be in the little bit of the back of your mind, isn't it? But I really think that Brady Cook is a legitimate threat. And also Jabari Johnson from Tacoma, Washington, the true freshman. Yeah, I know he hasn't been here for spring practice, and that definitely hurts his chance to be a day one starter. But at the same time, I think we've seen a lot this day and age, true freshmen can start. It happens, especially if you're really looking for something at quarterback. And for as much as, again, Horn and Garcia have decorated high school pass, well, I don't think any of these guys have 100% proven that they're an absolute SEC starter. So to me, just a tremendous amount is up in the air here. And obviously, if any one of those guys is named the starter, there's going to be fallouts and ramifications to all of that. So I think I want to get to all of these different scenarios here over the coming days. But you know what? Let's start with Sam Horn. So what does Horn bring to the table that is different than what you saw with the Missouri offense last season? Well, I think, first of all, the outside receivers suddenly come a lot more into play. I think that was one of maybe the hard parts for Luther Burden last season, was he played mostly in the slot, I believe, in high school. And I think you're seeing Missouri move him back into the slot this season, where Dominic Lovett played last season. And I think you're going to see a lot more production out of Luther this season. But I do think part of the problem is, well, Brady Cook obviously had a shoulder injury last year. You can question his arm strength to some extent, but certainly his labrum, there we go. His labrum is injured. That's going to affect your arm strength, I've got to think. I'm not a doctor, but that seems pretty logical to me. So Horn, obviously a guy who can throw, 97 miles an hour on the mound, arm strength is not a problem for him whatsoever. And also, people often think about arm strength in terms of, hey, just how far you can chuck the ball down the field. They think about it in terms of throwing it deep. But really getting the ball outside the hash marks, outside the numbers, to the boundary, that's even more important, in my opinion, than being able to throw it 70 yards in the air. And what I'm talking about here, just think about out routes to the sidelines, deep comebacks, 15, 20 yards downfield. That's going to really require a special NFL-type arm. Well, suddenly that opens up the offense more and allows you to run different types of routes. Now, also, on the other side of the equation, I think you saw Missouri get really run heavy with Brady Cook toward the end of last season when Eli Drinkwitz gave up play calling duties. So obviously it remains to be seen what Kirby Moore is going to do as the Tigers offensive coordinator. But the offense almost certainly will not be as run heavy as it became under Cook. Now, don't get me wrong, Sam can move. Sam Horn can definitely move around a little bit, for sure. The little we've seen of him, I think we can safely say that. Certainly, he can move around more than Jake Garcia. But what I really want to see, ideally, is not, you know, designed runs per se. What I want to see out of Sam Horn is the ability to extend the play and scramble for the occasional third and eight when the man coverage, when they, you know, the rush breaks down and there's man coverage in the back end and you could just generally take a pretty easy 8 yards. As long as he can do that, that's an ideal scenario to me. And speaking of Jake Garcia, by the way, I've talked about him a little bit in this segment. If he loses this job, by the way, to Horn, to Cook, to Jabari Johnson, I don't care who it is, to Tommy Locke, for that matter, I think I got to imagine he transfers at the end of the season if that happens, because as he proved already once, five-star guys just don't go somewhere to sit on the bench. Now, will a Power 5 opportunity still be there for him? Maybe not, but I still think he'll, even if he has to transfer down to, say, an AAC school, you know, a mid-major, quote-unquote, I know that's more basketball terminology, but you get the point. A little bit lower level of football, I think he'd probably take that opportunity. Now, of course, that's just for, I'm just talking about the beginning of the season. He's not going to transfer during season, so you never know what could happen during the season. Garcia could always take over for an injured Horn, an ineffective Horn, or whoever it might be who ends up being the starter. Now, as for Brady Cook, again, another domino that could fall here, a part of me thinks that if Cook was going to transfer, he probably would have done it this offseason. But his recovery from that labrum surgery, well, that complicates that assumption quite a bit. And it feels like right now he's a Missouri ride or die kind of guy. But in the transfer portal era, who knows? I suspect he rides it out in Columbia, but I could be wrong. And as far as, you know, the 2024 recruiting class goes at the quarterback position, well, Missouri already has Daniel Kalen out of Nebraska. And the only scenario I see potentially changing that, him being Missouri's one and only quarterback in that class, would be a coaching change. And I don't think we want to see that happen, because that would mean a bad season for Missouri coming up, a really bad season, in fact. And when it comes to Missouri basketball, well, Caleb Love is not the only former Konzo Martin target that Missouri is after. So let's talk about Tamar Bates coming up and some updates on Caleb Love and Jamarian Sharp. But first, let's talk FanDeezy. Yes, the NBA playoffs are almost here. Now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because as you know, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, which is safe, secure, and incredibly easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from money lines to top point scores to three-pointers made. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. I got to be honest, I really have no idea who to pick right now in the NBA. I suppose you got to favor a healthy Phoenix Suns, but can we really count on Kevin Durant for that long? We'll just have to see. But you know what? Regardless, don't miss your chance to get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. By the way, before I get to the players Missouri is after in the basketball transfer portal, I should mention that Ronnie DeGray has entered the transfer portal as well. Most of you are probably well aware of that at this point, but For whatever reason, I just didn't get to that news in the last few days. I feel bad for not mentioning it because I did like Ronnie DeGray as a player quite a bit. Now, he doesn't really fit the mold of a forward that I would like in modern basketball. Frankly, simply put, he would be a better shooter is what I would like to have seen from Ronnie DeGray. However, having said that, I feel bad because I think Ronnie DeGray was a hard worker, a good rebounder, and a good defender, and that was something that Missouri needed at times this season. There's a reason that Dennis Gates gave him a shot, and I just feel bad that obviously his season, much like Trey Gomillion's did, ended in injury, essentially, and that's just too bad. I feel a little bad about that, and also just feel bad that, well, back in the day, guys would typically finish out their careers at Mizzou, and I guess I'm just old man River that's going to have to get used to this new world. But you know what? Speaking of this new world, I have to say, it is pretty exciting when you're after new players and your team's actually good. So I can't complain about that whatsoever. And speaking of guys who, well, were recruited by Konzo Martin, brought up Ronnie DeGray, well, a target that Konzo missed out on a few years ago was Tamar Bates, a guy from the Kansas City area. Eventually ended up at Indiana after committing to Texas originally. He was a top 30, top 40 type player from high school, depending on which recruiting outlets you want to look at. And at Indiana, you know, it was kind of a mixed bag. He thought he was a good three-point shooter. Didn't offer a whole lot else offensively, at least on paper. His reputation is as a good defensive player. So regardless, it'll be interesting to see if Tamar ends up there. Apparently, Michigan was a spot he was being pursued by originally. But the word on the street is now that Kansas State and Missouri will probably be the ones who end up with Tamar Bates. And speaking of the Indiana Hoosiers, excuse me, well, apparently they're out on Caleb Love, and it's going to come down to Missouri and Michigan. That's the best reporting I've been able to see so far. Either the Tigers or the Wolverines are going to secure Caleb Love's services. And at this point, I think you got to feel pretty good about the Tigers' chances of getting the former five-star prospect out of St. Louis. It just seems like a lot of signs are pointing in that direction. And as I said maybe a few episodes ago, I do think Missouri fans might be overrating Caleb Love a little bit. Listen, don't get me wrong. I'll be happy if Missouri ends up getting him. But I have to say, I do have a pretty good source over in the state of North Carolina, somebody who has covered Caleb Love and that team a lot, my buddy Jason Jennings over at WRAL, and I don't think he'll mind me sharing this text message from this morning. He said, Mizzou fans should curb their enthusiasm over Caleb Love. He is not missed in Chapel Hill. When he's hot, he's hot. But outside of last year's NCAA tournament, he was mostly a chucker. Ouch! Jason, just pouring cold water all over me this morning. Well, my take was, and again, if Missouri signs Caleb Love, I'm going to invite Jason onto this program. But, you know, as I said earlier, I think the optimistic take is that the Tigers will have plenty of ball handling next year. So hopefully Caleb will be more off of the ball, where actually, if you look at the statistics, he was quite effective as a catch and shoot player last season. He just wasn't really put in that position very much because, again, he was dominating the ball. And to call him a chucker, well, I think that's pretty fair. As I pointed out, he took, you know, 30%, 40% more shots than Caleb Brown did last season, maybe even more than that. And finally, just one more thought. He pushed back on my pushback. Well, he said if they can limit Caleb to 10 to 12 shots per game, then it could work. He just won't stop shooting. It was the Clarence Gilbert game in the Elite Eight versus OU, but 15 times a season. Wow. I can tell you, my buddy can paint quite a picture, I'll tell you that. So I'm a little bit more optimistic than that, but I have to say he's had a lot better look at Caleb Love than I have. So we'll just have to fight this out here later in the week. And coming up, I, like just about everybody else in the basketball world, was pretty captivated by the play of Iowa's Caitlin Clark this past weekend, but I have to say I was really dismayed by the commentary and the talk around her and the team and the finish to the game, of course, that came around that. So I want to touch on that a little bit after these quick words. So first of all, I thought it was quite fascinating on Friday night, and then maybe for another 24 to 48 hours or so, it sure seemed like Caitlin Clark had a 100% approval rating among the sports sort of writer community, the greater sports media community, if you will. At least that's what my Twitter feed was giving me on Friday and Saturday. Well, simpler times, because obviously after the loss to LSU, there was the player for LSU, Angel Reese, who gave her back the John Cena, you can't see me taunt that Caitlin had been using throughout the tournament. Some people weren't huge fans of this, and of course, well, this became now a whole racial double standard controversy. And excuse me if I must sigh for just a moment, because here's why I'm dismayed by this in particular. Because all the people in the sports writer community, and by the way, it's been a while. It's definitely been a while. But I was a sports writer for a while. I went to journalism school for that very reason, wrote a column for the Missourian, the whole deal. So I have a pretty good idea of exactly who these people are, generally speaking, in the sports writer and sports media community. They're the type of people that love when somebody puts out platitudes about how we're stronger through diversity and all this good stuff. They love to hit the like on that kind of tweet. But then when they have an opportunity to actually celebrate diversity, as we saw in the national championship game, hey, you've got a mostly all white team playing a mostly all black team. And instead of celebrating that, nope, we got to divide people once again. And that's the part that dismays me about all of this commentary. It would be one thing if I thought that the purpose of this was to bring people together, to bridge misunderstandings, to make people of different cultures understand each other and, oh, I didn't even realize that sort of thing was offensive or this and that. And hey, let's all come together and create a more peaceful and harmonious world. Hey, I'm all for that stuff. But to me, it just seems like over and over again, and I'll say specifically in the sports media commentariat, over and over again, there's an urge to divide people and to make us hate each other. And you know what? I resent the absolute hell out of that. I do. When I see that stuff, it makes me genuinely sad. It dismays me because I got to be honest, I came from these people, you know, and that's why I'm not there anymore, to be honest with you. I just have no interest in being around a bunch of miserable people who want other people to feel as miserable as they are. That's kind of what it comes down to for me. And I'm really tired of that. I honestly am. So, you know, I'm not going to get any more specific on my thoughts about the subject than that. I just wanted to get broader and say my big point is, hey, we're going to have these types of tough discussions, then great. Let's do it so we bring people together, not so we drive people apart for whatever reason, for whoever else's gain. Because to me, I want all of society to gain, and we all gain when we're getting along and peaceful and just things are harmonious. We're all trading and doing all kinds of good stuff. We can all just live peacefully together despite whatever our differences are. To me, the commentary around this Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese stuff, to me, it's been awful and disgusting. You know, that's one thing I try to be a little bit different on this show, is I try to really just focus on the games, because that's what I like. I like the games, I like the actual sports, and I like learning about the real people that are behind them, the real players, figuring out what their different values are, where they came from. People like Demoy Hodge, he came from a completely different place than I did. Does that mean we have to hate each other? No, that's one of the great parts of sports, is we learn to realize that, oh, actually, we aren't all that different. And this sports thing is almost just a silly distraction from our sort of warlike and tribal-like and conflict-based sort of selves that we are, our sort of animalistic bad natures that we should push against in, against. That's not what society is about. Again, to say it for the millionth time, if we're doing stuff that is bringing us together to bring a more peaceful, harmonious society, I'm all about it. But if you're just here to be divisive, I have no time for you whatsoever. So hey, thanks for indulging me there at the end of the show. Just wanted to get that bit of opinion off my chest. Of course, if you're listening to the last segment, you're a real fan of the show, so I really appreciate it. And again, thanks for indulging me once again, and thanks for listening to Locked On Mizzou. Thanks for making it your first listen. Now make your second listen, Locked On College Basketball with Isaac Shade and Andy Patton. Great guests from coaches, players, experts throughout college hoops. It's Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get podcasts. So until next time, I'm John Miller, and this has been Locked On Mizzou.